We want to remember that little slogan in verse, every victory is yours. Because today we are continuing our series, or I don't know if it's a series or not. If I do it one more time, it'll be a series. So we're looking at Joshua chapter 1 again, but in a somewhat different context. The title is Moving Forward with God, Walking into His Plans and Promises. Moving Forward with God, Walking into His Plans and Promises. Do you ever think that God has a plan and a promise and a purpose for you? The answer is yes, in case you were guessing. The answer is yes, and here we are, opening a new year. There again, that's hard to imagine. I guess I'm getting old or something, but it's just like, it's a new year. We're headed into it already. This is January. I'll be glad when March gets here, because February is awful, always hard. But anyhow, here we are, first Sunday in January. And we wonder what decisions, I don't know if you wonder about this, but I wonder, what decisions will I make this year that may change the course of my life forever? Okay, what decisions am I going to make, or what decisions will I not make that would change my life? Now remember, I used the illustration of when I flew from New York City to Johannesburg. It was about, I don't know, 12 hours or something, I forget. I think it was three movies. That's how I counted them. Three movies on the flight. And but if you'd have changed your course by 1 degree, you know, you'd have missed the whole continent. You know? So the idea is making small changes often has big results. So the small changes that you make are very important, and allowing, you know, renew a right spirit within me, these character traits of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Well, what part of us needs renewed? What part of us needs to be, we don't want to say necessarily changed, but continue to improve? How does the life that we live with Christ, how is it to improve? So, what new people will we be introduced to? You know, it's important. You know, I think of the things that we did, you know, happened to be able to do, and what new people are introduced into your life. Well, I was privileged. I went to, I don't know why I thought of this, but who's the owner of the Steelers? Rooney's. Well, when I think it was Art Rooney Sr., when he was appointed the of Ireland, he was ambassador to Ireland, he had a gala at the stadium, and I don't even know how I got the tickets, but anyhow, got the tickets, and Rhonda wouldn't go, so I took her niece, the one she's with in Florida, and she went, and you know, it was like, wow, there's all the Super Bowl trophies, and there's all these important people, you know, so that was like, well, I was introduced to a lot of people, and it's like, yeah, that's nice, well, what good did it do? I don't know, but you know, anyhow, there's other individuals, don't want to take our time with that. But other individuals that were important, that had important positions even in our state or in our government. And just a couple of those you ran into. And, you know, what important people are you going to meet that's going to influence you in the future? There's this one man that I met at the chaplain's conference a couple of years ago, because it's been 2 years since I've been to it. Anyhow, I met this individual who is now the head of chaplains, and he called me up and wants me to do, and I've mentioned this before, to do a conference at the national conference, you know, breakout session for an hour and a half, a breakout session for an hour and a half at the national chaplains conference in Branson, Missouri, all right? I don't remember him. I don't know who he is. His picture's even on you know, with his name in the national, you know, at the national office, and I still don't remember him. You know, so there's somebody that he's, you know, I've met him, and he's had an important aspect of my life, and here I am, I'm going to do something in the future. Another thing, I don't know why I'm saying this, you know, I wrote the book, have the book. Well, I'm supposed to. No. Here I have these this marketing firm, or I think it's called a marketing firm. I don't even know. Anyhow, you pay them so much money and they do stuff for you. And they've never worked out in the past. Well, this individual, he has arranged for me to have a conference call with a producer in California. And that this producer does television shows and you know, writes scripts and things. And he's supposed to call me and to talk to me about buying or purchasing the rights to my book. So I thought, that's pretty good. He said 50 cents a word. No, he didn't say anything. But it isn't as lucrative as I thought. But anyhow. But you have these things, and what things can happen in your life? I say, well, I don't do much. I'm not going in those circles. It doesn't matter. God will introduce you to who you need to be introduced. He will bring people into your life that you don't have any reason to think that it's going to make a difference. And so that's why it's important that we treat people, everyone that we meet, you know, not that someone is higher or lower, but that we treat them with respect and dignity. There's often these little clips that talk about, you know, this guy walks into a Ferrari store, you know, and he's all, you know, he's got blue jeans and dirty, greasy shirt and all that stuff. He walks in and they tell him he's in the wrong place. They try and kick him out. And the owner comes in and says, well, he's the owner of the whole business. You know, but the salesman was, you're in the wrong store. The Goodwill's down the road, you know. He owns the place. Well, we never know who God is bringing into our life, and so we never categorize people by what we see or what we think is their position in life. So the new year brings hope, but it brings uncertainty. The question before us is not merely, what do I want to do this year? The question before us, where is God leading me? And will I trust him enough to go that direction? I could read the poem, The Road Less Traveled, you know, or I'll just do what Yogi Bear said, when you get to the fork in the road, take it. So, that's a little joke. So the future is ahead of us, but what is required is movement. Is movement. So God always calls his people forward. Joshua 1:2. Moses, my servant, is dead. I always, you know, that's what a phrase. Start off a book. You know, I want everybody to know Moses, my servant, is dead. Okay. It's like, well, again, Moses would have been one of those guys. They would have erected a shrine. They would have taken his body and put it in a gold casket and carried it with them everywhere because he was such a great man. But Moses went up into the mountain and died. Well, we don't know if he died, but he talks about how that his body was contended by the devil and so on. This was in another book. But anyhow, we know that Moses is dead. What it means is they had taken the time to mourn and to weep over Moses, but now they were still in the desert, and the desert was not their home. Moses brought them out of Egypt. The Ten Commandments, you know, Ten Commandments, the plagues, and then through the Red Sea and 40 years in the wilderness, putting up with all their garbage, and, you know, manna to eat and water out of a rock and all that, and, you know, this great provision. But now God is saying to Joshua, he's dead. Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is gone. You don't take it with you. You can't take it with you. So they are no longer slaves in Egypt, and they no longer are wandering nomads in the desert. That part of your life is over. And so now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. Go over the Jordan. You got to go through the river to get to the other side. Well, the Jordan, you know, like I said, it's a little creek. except in flood stage, it's about a mile across the valley. And so God, they got to go over the Jordan and through the water. Isaiah 43 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." I am doing a new thing. God doesn't have to do the same thing he did yesterday. God doesn't have to provide the way he did yesterday. The provision of the children of Israel in the desert was manna and water from a rock. Well, now the provision in the promised land was victory over the enemy, taking down strongholds, walking around Jericho, watching it fall. That's a whole new type of victory. Every victory is mine. So the victory of coming through the Red Sea, the victory of manna, the victory of water, and staying in the course in the desert is now changed to victory in the promised land. It's forward. So what is God going to do? Well, sometimes we have a hard time letting go. Philippians 3:13, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So did we get the idea? Did we get the idea? Yesterday's gone. No matter how good it was, no matter how bad it was, no matter what disasters or what blessings, you know, often it's the biggest blessings in life that hold us back from new ones. Because we remember what God did at one time, and we can become so focused on that we forget that, hey, that's gone. So no matter how we've been blessed or no matter how it's been difficulty, go forward. So, your history, this is a nice little saying, your history does not disqualify you. Your age does not limit you. Your failures do not define you. It's God's initiative to redeem you, to purchase you back, no longer slaves to sin. As Moses delivered Israel from Egypt's slavery, Jesus delivers us from the slavery of sin. There's a parallel between all of this. So the same God who carried you through last year is calling you forward into this year. So, got to go forward. Number two, God's plans are good. God's plans are good. Guess what verse I have for that? Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you." Ta-da! This is interesting because God knows the plans he has for you. Boom. Now, we think of it as the nation, but God, in the Old Testament, God dealt with the nation of Israel as a whole nation. Okay? God has plans for them as they go through the desert and, you know, into the promised land. Well, in the New Testament, it is a relational experience with each person. So every victory is yours. So the plans that I have for you is individual. In the Old Testament, it was corporate. But in New Testament, it's individual. It's specific to the person. And so God says, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." That's important. You see, God does not want to harm you. So any thoughts that come into your head about destruction or failure and that somehow not, this isn't going to work, that isn't going to work, it's not God. If you have an initiative that says it's not going to work, then you pray, "God, well, how can it work? How do you want me to do this?" Remember the two questions that we ask. What and how? What happened? How did it happen? What am I to do? How am I to do it? What mistake did I make? How did I get there? What and how? And so we find that God is doing that with us every time he gives us plans. Israel didn't know the battles that would lay ahead of them. You know, they're on the desert side of the Jordan. They don't know everything that's over on the other side, but they have to trust Joshua to lead them. But God already knew the outcome of the battles that they haven't even faced. God knows the outcome of the battles they haven't even faced. So God knows the outcome of this year. where you're going to be, what's going to happen, the battles that you face. And guess what? God's outcome is always for you to prosper and not to harm you, and that you have a future. You have hope and a future. God never takes that away. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of a man plans his ways. Let the Lord establish his steps. You know, God, you know, we, you know, people are planners. Failing to plan is planning to fail. That's a Zig Ziglar one. Failure to plan is planning to fail. So you got to have plans. You got to have something in your head, in your mind, where you're going. But we also know that God is the one who directs our steps. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God gives you the command to go this way. He initiates the steps in your life. What happened at Jericho? We'll probably get that in another lesson. But what happened at Jericho? They had to walk around Jericho every day for 7 days, and on the seventh day walk around seven times, and then they had to blow the trumpet. Well, you see, the steps of the Lord, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Their steps around Jericho were ordered by God. Now, there was nothing, there was no outcome for 7 days. And there certainly wasn't any outcome after six times around, and they were still wondering, what are we doing this for? He's no Moses, comparing of leaders. But when the time came, the walls came down. So what he's saying is God does not reveal the whole road. He reveals the next step. So going down the right road on the road less traveled is the one that God gives you. Joshua 1:7 and 8, be strong and very courageous. Okay, facing the new year, facing new problems, what are you supposed to do? Be strong and very courageous. You want to say that? Be strong. Ready? Be strong and courageous. Got that? Be strong and courageous. You see, it takes courage to take your next step. Because we don't know where it's going, but we don't have to know. We have to trust. Now, we got the plans, we've got direction, and we're going in that direction. Unless God changes, he's inspiring us to move forward. He's helping us to take the next step. So be careful to obey, be strong and very courageous, but obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Obey what God has put in your heart. Obey the law. Obey what the Spirit is saying unto us. So God addresses Joshua he doesn't address him with obedience. He addresses him with promises. So obedience fulfills promises. So Joshua 1:7, God commanded them. Joshua is to remember that although he is the commander in chief of God's people, yet he is still subject to Moses, the laws that were given to Moses from God, and he is commanded to go forward. Then what does he say? Don't turn to the right or to the left. So you don't get halfway down the road and says, you know, now some people like to travel this way. I don't like to, you know, okay, I want the main road. People ask me, well, how do you go to Pittsburgh? I go down to Somerset, I get on the turnpike, I get off in Monroeville. Well, don't you know, whatever. But guess what? I don't have stop and go traffic. I hate stop and go traffic. And I don't like red lights. So I always run them. No, I don't. I like to just get on there and go. Some people like to go down 219 or whatever that is, and you know, the stoplights and three lane, you know, some people love that. Rhonda's brother, he would never travel a four lane highway from here to Florida. He would never get on a four lane highway because he couldn't stand them, and I wouldn't ride with him. No, he never asked me to go. But anyhow, but that's beside the point. But see, everybody to their own taste. Everyone is different. Well, I'll just use the instance. Is God leading me or is God leading him? Because I like the four lane and he won't get on one. Well, God can lead both of you. because it's individually specific. Not to trust the promises is to break the agreement God is making with you. Not to trust the promises is telling God, I don't believe what you're telling me. All things are going to work together for good. So when something bad happens, we see it as bad. Well, I don't believe your promise. You want to break your promise because you're disappointed. Let me say something again. God has plans for you that in the difficulties of life, he's going to see you through. Now, think about the children of Israel. They were supposed to go into the promised land, but guess what? We can't do this. There's giants in the land. So where does God bring them? This is important. I once did a sermon on this years, I don't know how many years ago. Anyhow, the children of Israel, they come out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and they came to the promised land. I think it's an 8-day journey, maybe 10, whatever. It took them 40 years. Why? Because when they got to the promised land, they said, we can't do this. And God says, take a trip. And they go wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. Then what happens? God brings them back to the very same spot and says, take the land. So all the people who said no the first time died. All those who said, you know, they were too young to make the decision are now the ones in the decision-making position. They say, yeah, let's go. Let's go. Well, in our life, God will bring us full circle to the decisions we've made before that were not, maybe we could have made it different. Maybe we could have made them different, but God will bring us to that decision again. What are we going to do this time? You see, if you're beating yourself up because you didn't go into the land the first time, you know, why was I so dumb? Why was this? Why was that? You don't understand that you did, the real problem was what and how? What did I do? Well, it's what I didn't do. I didn't believe God. So now, come to the same spot, Joshua says, let's go in, and they said, okay, we'll follow you. Joshua 1:8, keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Think about the scriptures. Think about the promises. It's good to, you know, write it 3x5 cards and put them on the refrigerator with a magnet. Right, Glenda? We had the two magnets on the door, and we said, what are we going to do with the magnets on the door? I always say, put them in the office, put them in the office. Glenda says, well, we put them on the refrigerator. So that means we put it on the refrigerator. Because that's where we remember they're at. If we put them in a box somewhere, we'll never find them. So obedience, as stated in Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed and went, not knowing where he was going. So, you know, we don't know the outcome of this year, but we, by faith, we are going. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God knows the way that we're taking. Faith is not the absence of fear. It is choosing obedience in spite of the fear. We're never going to run out of fear, false evidence appearing real. We're never going to run out of these things that say, don't do this, don't do that, and don't go there. But we will always know that God has prepared a place and a path and a light to shine on that path so we can take our next step. Fourth, God goes before us into the future. I like to think of it this way, that to God, it's all knowledge. He doesn't remember the past. He knows the past. He doesn't see the present. He knows the present. He doesn't see into the future. He knows the future. So our future, God is already there. That's why he's directing our path. He knows where you're going. And that's why he inspires us to walk and to talk and, you know, keep the word in your mouth and your mind and your heart so that we are walking the path that God is going to take us to where he has created us so that we would fulfill this journey. And so we are on this path. Now, you know, people say, well, that's predestination. Well, it would be predestination if you couldn't make choices. But because God knows where he wants you to go, he presents his Spirit and his Word for you to choose this day whom you will serve, to choose which step, which promise you will believe. So Matthew 45:2, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. He says, bring the mountains down, bring the valleys up. He's just going to level out the road. Matthew 28:20, sure and surely I am with you always. Not going to be able to be somewhere else. God is there. He went before us to the cross. He defeated sin, death, hell, and the grave. He rose from the dead. He went before us. He's in heaven. He's prepared a place for us. We know where we're going. So let's come back and deal with today. And fifth, we have a call. A call. Not a ding-a-ling. A call. Joshua 1:16. All that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. So the message was not for Joshua alone. It was for the entire nation of Israel. And so we find that we have a year as a congregation. It's not only for us individually, but it's for us as a congregation. That a year to grow deeper in the Word, in the Scriptures. We have a year to step out in faith. There will be avenues of faith that God wants us to step on. And a year to serve, to give, to witness, to live boldly before God. Those are all in front of us, so we move forward. Stepping into the new year, let go of what God has already redeemed. Moses, my servant, is dead. Yesterday is gone. 10 years ago is gone. So let it go. I remember the illustration. I brought it in a suitcase, I think. And I always had the suitcase and I drug it around. Well, see, many people take their past with them. People are going to move to a new city. Okay? They take their suitcase with them. They take the same attitudes. Like the guy said, he met a new person in his town. He says, well, what was your old place like? Oh, it was full of doubters, and it was full of panic. It was full of people. They didn't get along. They were fighting. He says, well, you know, that's kind of what we have here. You know, to another person's new person in the same town. Oh, we had great neighbors. We had great opportunities. It was the best place to be. He says, we have that here. It's what you bring with you that makes the difference. Take the word of God with you. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Okay, this is a command from God. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So, God is here. God is with you wherever you go. You can't have a better tomorrow if you're constantly thinking about what happened yesterday. My cliche, and I know it's worth writing and putting in lights. You can't walk backwards into the future, constantly looking backward, without tripping over the present. You're always stumbling over what's happening now, and you're constantly looking at what was. No, what was is gone. It's been forgiven. It's been dealt with. Your future's in front of you. If God didn't have a future for you, you wouldn't be here. That's not in the church. I mean here on earth. You would be in heaven. So God told Israel to move forward, not to mourn what has been left behind. The wilderness or Moses, let it all go. You can't possess the land ahead of you if you're still camped in the desert behind you. So, what are we going to remember from this message? What are we going to take home with us that is special that God has spoken to our heart? Yesterday may explain you, but it does not define you. I like that one too. In Christ, tomorrow is not built on regret. It is built on grace. See, we're not building on a foundation that we are bringing with us. We're building on the foundation that Christ has established. He is the solid rock. So his foundation is where I continue to build my life and my future. So, some memories must be redeemed. Some memories need to be left go of, and some need to be reminded of, that God was with me. You know, God did that in the scriptures. The Bethel was always a special place that people would go back to Bethel to remember what God had promised them and promised their forefathers. So having those memories are important, because this is where God blessed me. This is where God promised the future to me, and we go into the future. So, got 30 seconds. Moving forward with God, we've got to go over or through the Jordan. Isaiah said, "Forget the former things. I'm doing a new thing." God says, "I know the plans I have for you." God tells us to obey his word. He tells us that I will go before you. All that you have commanded me, I will do. So that's kind of a few short sentences of what we talked over. Maybe there's something that you remember. So close your eyes. Think about what we've said and what comes into your mind. Okay, what did you have it in your head? what it is that you remember? Mine are moving forward with God, forgetting the former things. I know the plans I have for you, and I will go before you. But that one, I will go before you. So whatever yours is, put it in your mind, write it down. I should get you papers and write all this stuff down. That's what a good preacher would do. Yeah. So, you have a good preacher? Thank you much. Give her money on the way out. Yes. Let's all stand, shall we? It's important to take the message with you, and to think about it, to pray over it, and don't let it fade, but take something and remember it, and read daily devotionals, and because we want to improve, grow in our spiritual life, to serve God and, you know, change spiritually to a new person, renew a right spirit within me. And these are the things that God keeps us growing by, and so we're grateful for that. Jesus, we thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you, O Lord, for touching our life. Thank you, Lord, for the message that you give to us through the nation of Israel. We thank you that you are still working through the nation of Israel to teach us lessons for today and give us an understanding that the future with you is very near, that we will be with you in eternity in the second coming of Christ. So we are praying for your deliverance. We're praying for your strength. We're praying that we may walk daily in the path that you have provided. So let your light shine upon our path, we pray. Bless us and guide us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.